said this in my spirit this week. I preached one of the loudest messages that this ministry has ever heard, and I preached it last Sunday. You say, well, there was nobody preached. I mean, yeah, Brother Rick was here, and Brother Pastor, he said some things, and, you know, we different people said some things, but what do you mean, most powerful message? The most powerful message was preached last week was not from the words of men, but from the actions of your reaction. Amen. So Tina, where's Tina? Come up here, Tina. You see, we don't see this morning. The loudest, the most effective preaching that you do in your life is not what you say. It's how you live. How you react. Because what the devil meant to do was disrupt the function of ministry last week. And it strategically became because of declarations and proclamations that have been made in ministry. The Sunday that the team took the flag up to the top of Deacon Rock and hung that flag up there and declare freedom, deliverance to the captives in this valley here. That the drug addict is going to be set free.
The youth were the ones that took the flag too. The youth ministry took the flag.
So, the youth, of course, are the seed. The seed. The seed, not just the seed for the future work of ministry here and throughout this community and throughout this region, but the future of the church. But that seed is not just the future, it's about the present. And so an attack was made against this ministry to disrupt unity. I hang on to that, okay? Everybody say unity. But what the devil didn't know was who he was picking on. Oh. You didn't get it. I need to rewind that, Damar. What the enemy didn't know was who he was picking on. So the reason why I asked Tina to come up here, because, man, this is just stuck in my heart all week long about how your resolve. I want you to look up the technical definition of that, Mrs. R. How your resolve stayed in the face of the enemy. Instead of backing up, instead of spreading and running off this mountain, there was a powerful resolve that rose up inside of you. And you chose not to let go of the things of God, even though it was disrupted. Guess what? God said you passed the test. You didn't get that. You didn't get it. You didn't get it. You're thinking about SpongeBob. You didn't get it. Put the NFL out of your mind. Put the cheerleaders out of your mind. Put these things out of your mind and listen to the instruction of God this morning. God has a word for you. So, you preached a message. God preached a message through you. And it was his most powerful and effective message is what was preached here last Sunday. And we think no one heard that. Oh, but they did. This whole community heard your preaching. There were first responders here. There were firefighters here. There were ODP men here. There were people here who needed to see the resolve inside of you. What do people see when I face my enemies? And my enemies are against me, and I am outnumbered, and I am outwitted. What does the community, what do those around me see and hear from our lives? And this is a testimony that Tina's going to read from a man whose life was shook to the core. I don't think this man could have been shook if he had been sitting here under the most powerful anointed preaching you could ever imagine. I don't think he would have been touched to that level. I don't care what name you put up there. I don't care what powerful name, what powerful pastor or preacher that we could bring in. And Brother Rick was here, and there was a reason Brother Rick was here, and that was powerful. But there was never anything more clear and loud preached into the lives of this man and what he saw in you. You're getting ready to hear it, okay? All right.
Man, God is so amazing. I'm telling you. I know all of you all have stories that just blow your mind, but this blew my mind. That, the night before the fire, Boo was inducted into the John I. Burton Hall of Fame, and we were there, and Gerald Lawson, if you all know who that is, he works for ODP, he was there with his wife, and I met his wife that night, and I had known her brother since I was 7, but I didn't know her, but that night, the night before the fire, I met her, and he came to the fire. And, of course, Kathy even said that a lot of these guys need to hear us, need to feel the love of God, and they need it so badly. Well, after the fire and after we prayed for them, she sent me this message, Gerald's wife. She said, "Thank you and the church for their prayers and blessings this morning. Gerald was so deeply touched, he could barely get part of what he experienced out. He just said when coming through the door, 'I've never experienced anything like this morning.'" Yeah. I mean, there was a fire, y'all. He goes to fires all the time. You know, I don't know what he's heard in this world, but what he said that day was, "I have never experienced anything like this morning." She said, "I followed him through the house because he teared up. I said, 'What happened, baby? Did you get blessed?' And he simply said, with tear-filled eyes and his back still turned away from me, 'Yeah, I did.'" And she said, "To God goes the glory, but I wanted to thank all of you." So there's no mistake that I met her the night before, y'all. That's God. I'm so thankful.
Wow, come on. Give God some praise. Give God some praise. Come on. You've got some praise in you. Give it to God. Wow. Thank the Lord. God is good. Now let me give a word of instruction to you this morning. The most powerful message was preached by the Lord himself when he preached it through your actions last week. Not through the words of men, but through the actions of your attitudes and your reaction to the attack that was placed upon us, put upon us. And you shown for powerful resolve. You got that?
Firm determination to do something. Firm determination to do something.
Firm determination to do something. Everybody say that with me. Firm determination to do something. It's not strange that he preached couple weeks ago or so about Pearl Harbor, about the terrible resolve and all the things that happen. You see, when that moment comes, really, really what it comes down to, a lot of things that we think mattered really don't matter at all. Let me say that again. A lot of things that we think matter don't matter at all. When you're fighting for human life and the existence of human life and the concern of human life and welfare, really our agendas, our private personal agendas and our trivia things that we think that are so important, when the rubber meets the road, it really just doesn't matter at all. What matters is what God wants to do in that moment and what God is saying. There's some things more important than what we just want personal, but what we need as a body. Unity is a powerful thing. And let me say something to you. The devil don't shake and quiver. He doesn't shake, quake, and quiver at your talent. I don't care how talented you are. That don't mess the devil up. Let me say that again. Your abilities, your skills, your talent, your vocation, all of your credentials, all of your accolades, all your degrees, all of those things, listen, that don't shake the devil up. Can I tell you something else? All the lights, all the sound equipment, all the beautiful music, all of those things really don't make the devil nervous. Oh, you're not getting this. You should have had your bowl of Wheaties this morning, okay? God's trying to feed you spiritual Wheaties right now. And I promise, and I'm not going to be here very long. I told you, I'm going to give you instruction. He's going to tie it together here. And we're going to move out because what God's going to do is not going to take very long. But one thing that messes with the enemy more than anything else, one thing he hates more than anything else, one thing he hates more than anything else is unity. Watch it. You get your wife and you get married and you start a family. That's when the devil starts working. Oh, you missed it. You get a church, you organize a church, you organize a ministry, and you get powerful vision and you go forward that vision. That's where the devil works. You get a powerful nation that has great foundation and stands on powerful truth and ethics and are about great things in this world. That's where the devil works. He wants this nation divided. He wants this nation divided. He wants your family divided. He wants ministries to be divided. He cannot stand function. And so he's the mastermind of creating dysfunction. Yes. Everything that God created and placed in creation, he made a rhyme and reason. He created function, even in your own body. Your body is created to function in unity and harmony. In harmony. Could I have the praise team up there real quick? Where's the praise team? Come on. And Kevin, and Abby, it's so awesome to have you guys with us today. And later as we conclude, if you could be led, Devin, Big D, I call him, later on, if you could, I want you to close in a powerful worship song. If you could, but what we're going to do is create something today. We're going to create dysfunction in this praise team. He doesn't want your life to be in harmony. That's why he creates sickness and disease, so your life will not be in harmony with the direction and the purpose God created that. He wants your body to be out of function. He wants your kidneys not to work. He wants your mind not to work. He wants to create dysfunction in your body so your body is not in unity. He wants your mind to be depressed. He wants you to suffer fear and anxiety. He wants you to do that because all the time he's creating dysfunction and disunity in your body that God designed to bring forth unity. And purpose. Come on. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Genesis 3. He said, I will put enmity with your seed against his seed. And there will always be this battle going on for that common place of function. Because the enemy, let me tell you, if you think he's your friend, you got another thing coming. And you think the playground you're playing around on, you think that's something? Oh, the devil's got a plan. He's got a plan. But God's got a greater plan. God's got a greater plan. Sister Jackie, it's so awesome to see you back here tonight, today. God's got a plan. And his plan is created to operate in a powerful arena of unity. Because the devil is a mastermind of disruption. He wants to take your family down. 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 Everybody shout down. But let me tell you, I serve a God who did everything possible, Lord, to get you from the down and take you to the up. Amen. That work on the cross was to get us up and solidify us and put us together. To bring us together. Now, going back, let me share this verse. Okay, you guys hang on. Okay, this is getting ready to ride out quick. You know, God even teaches unity in nature. Everything has a balance. You get things out of balance in nature, you start seeing the repercussion of that. You start seeing the repercussion of that. You say, man, I wish I could kill every fly I could get my hand on. No, you don't. They're a pesty little varmint. But you get rid of them things, you've disrupted, listen, harmony and God's creation. You get rid of the things that you dislike. You think, oh, I can't stand mosquitoes, but they feed all the bird population, and we need them, whether you need them or not. I know you don't need Mary the bite on your arm, but listen, our birds need to devour mosquitoes. That's what keeps the cycle of life going and working effectively, because there's unity in creation. How many is getting what I'm talking about? Some of you didn't raise your hand, so you don't get it, right? Okay, I'll do some personal teaching on this later. Let me tell you. And the enemy is the disruptor of unity. He's always been. He hates unity. He hates unity. He hates it. So he's always working to destroy unity in the body. He's always working to destroy unity in the body. And I'm going to share a verse in Acts chapter 2. And we're going to tie the boat here just real quickly. Heath can come and close it out. But he wants to destroy. And his goal last week was to disrupt unity. And he's been trying to do that for the last little while. People like different things. How many knows we're all different? Jesus called 12 men. They were as alike as the east is from the west. These men were nothing alike. But God turned them into the greatest fighting force the world has ever known. They changed the world, and they turned the world upside down. They disrupted the devil's party, and they turned his world upside down. And people, listen, experienced the greatest move of God that the earth has ever known. But can I tell you something yet? People has yet to see the greatest move of God the earth has ever known. Are you seeing what I'm talking about? Oh, wow, Jesus. Wow. Harmony, we need harmony. They were all different. They were all unalike. And that was exemplified in their actions many times as Jesus took these men for 3.5 years. He poured into them. And it was a lot of times exemplified in their actions before Jesus. One wanted to be great. One wanted to be better. Others tried to bump each other for recognition and, you know, notoriety. James and John even got their mother in the thing. Come to Jesus one time and said, "Now, Jesus, you know my boys, they're good boys. Oh, don't you love them, Jesus? They've been loyal to you. They've worked for you. They've done all these things. They've traveled all these miles. Now, when you come in your kingdom, I'd like for you to do this for me. Put one on your left and one on your right. You know they've loved you more than the rest of them." Jesus said, "That's not mine to give. That's not mine. That's my Father in heaven. That's his." But let me tell you something. When we want our plan, when we want what we want, when we want our thing, it becomes self-serving. It serves what we want, not what the kingdom wants, not what the king wants. When you are about what you want, it serves what you want. There's a unity in the kingdom. There's a function in the kingdom. That's why God set it up that way. That's why God set up certain spiritual positions, unique positions in the kingdom, to operate in the bounds of the kingdom, of the church. Or if not, we just have chaos, open chaos all the time. He set pastors, he sets prophets, he sets apostles, he sets teachers, he sets evangelists, he sets all of these in the body so they can serve a unified function. Jesus is about unity. The devil's about chaos. How many knows that the devil's about chaos? Many of you say, "Pastor R, I've never had so many things going in my family before." Where does it come from? Does it come from God? It comes from chaos. He wants to create chaos in your family. He wants to create chaos and division in this nation. He wants to create chaos and division in the church and the ministry. He wants to do that all the time. So he creates jealousies and pettiness and self-serving and self-seeking and all of these things. He puts those in the body. He tries to create dysfunction so that we don't operate in unity. I haven't forgotten about you guys. You are awesome. I haven't forgot about you. So I want to read this scripture. One of the greatest days in the church is after the day of Pentecost. Listen, that's Noah. You see her every Sunday. So don't worry about Noah, okay? God's got Noah. How many knows that God's got Noah? By the way, he's not the first Noah that he ever took care of. And if he can get Noah through a flood, he'll get you through whatever, amen? Hallelujah! Somebody smile. It'll do yourself good. You're sitting there like you've been chewing sawbriars all your life. Smile. You say, I don't have a pretty smile, Pastor Art. Yes, you do. You got a lovely smile. You got an awesome smile. Don't let the devil tell you you're not enough. So, Acts chapter 2 and verse 44. And, you know, after the day of Pentecost fully come, this powerful spiritual pandemonium just broke loose in the church and in Jerusalem that day. There were things happening at a proportion that could not be kept up with by human record. And we have note and we have teaching and remembrance of those, especially the Apostle Luke, the writer Luke, who wrote his firsthand experiences as the things that he observed at that great birth of the church. In verse 44, it says, back up to 43, fear came up on every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Signs and wonders were done through the apostles. Now all who believed, everybody say, all who believed, we would be included in that. All who believe. How many believe? I'm not saying you believe there is a God. Everybody, most people believe there is a God. Okay? Most people believe there is a God, but I'm talking about people who believe, have relationship with God. Those who believed were together. Everybody say together. Together. Togetherness, unity is a powerful thing. It's something that the devil cannot do anything with. When you get people together, it's hard. It's a hard thing to deal with. You get a resolve and people together fighting for the same resolve, it's a hard thing to do anything with. After Pearl Harbor, when the attack on Pearl Harbor, it was a nation that came together and saw a common fight to fight common enemies. You got to understand, we weren't just fighting one enemy. We were fighting different enemies in different parts of the world. But it didn't matter how much we were outnumbered. Something arose in this nation and caused a people to come together as never before. It sort of reminds you of the Revolutionary War, where people come together to fight for their freedom. And they had a common cause to fight for freedom and to stand their ground against the greatest army, the greatest navy of all time. In the Revolutionary War, there was none like unto the great British Army and the great British Navy. But people come together, farmers come together, teachers come together, mercantile owners come together. Listen, clerks come together. Listen, miners come together. People come together, and they fought together, and they stood the ground together against this enemy. Everybody shout together. The devil doesn't want you and me to be together. Get that in your tank. He doesn't want your family to work. You think he does? Come on. You think the devil is for your family? He doesn't want your family to work. He doesn't want this nation to work. He wants this nation to be so split up and torn apart. But when people come together, it messes with the enemy's plan. And the Bible says, and then all believed who were together, and they had all things. Everybody say all things. All things. In common. They were together and they had all things in common. They were together and they had all things in common. I want you, when you have time, to read the second chapter of the book of Acts. Read from 42 on to the end of the chapter. You make reference to how many times it said together in those scriptures. And I don't have time to read those this morning. But people were together. The Bible said in chapter 2 of Acts, the same chapter, the beginning of that chapter, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, that they were all in one mind and one accord, gathered together in the upper room. There were 120 people gathered together in the upper room. The thing is, they were all together. Everybody shout together. Now let me tell you what the Lord told me that preached to Gerald and these first responders. Hang with me, please. I'm trying to be as quick as I can. Let me tell you what spoke into the hearts of these men. The church was on fire on this side. But the men that he calls to raise up, the people he calls to raise up, they just seemed to know already, as though it was rehearsed, exactly what to do. From dragging hoses to turning propane tanks off, to turning circuits off, to doing whatever needed to do. Direct people, do whatever they needed to do. They were helping to be the hands of the responders who come in whatever way. And when the responders came from the police department to the ODP people came, listen, these men were accordingly, and they were doing as they were directed. And when it was necessary to get out of the way, they got out of the way. But they were working together. And what spoke into these men's heart is not just what happened there. There was a unity. There was a coming together, especially at the end when they came over and prayed for these men. But let me tell you what else spoke into their heart. It was the shouts. It was the praises. It was the prayers. It was togetherness on this side of the building when a church rose up and worshiped their God together. Some of you are not getting it. You understand? The building on fire here, the church on fire here. The church on fire here. The same fire in Acts was the same fire demonstrated last Sunday here. Do you understand? And we're all different. Everybody come over here, gathered in that crowd, was all different. That's such so powerful blessing to me. Brother Glenn, he said, we're different. Henry, we're different. You're an old wood carver, old carpenter out of the hills of, what county is that, Buchanan County? Dixon County, I'm sorry. But you know, think of that. Billy, he's 80-something years old. He's way older than some of us here in this room. But he's got a heart of a teenager. He's got a resolve that won't stop or slow down. He suffered the loss of a wife. He suffered serious health issues in his own life. But Sunday after Sunday, he keeps getting out of that car, coming through those doors. You know why? Let me tell you, it's not my fancy preaching. It's not his fancy preaching. He wasn't raised on this kind of music. It's just because of what God is doing here. Do you understand that? So what happened on this side of the building affected what happened on this side. They were trying to put out the fire over here, and we were starting the fire over here. Juwan, the deal is, Reggie, the deal is, we got to take the fire outside this building and set a community on fire. We got to set a community on fire. That's what our responsibility is. And we do it together. Okay. Oh, Jesus. Okay. I'm going to cut this. There'll be a part two, okay? Let me say this. I have a story to share, but I ain't going to share it today. It's about one of the phenomenon. It's one of the phenomenal things in history, in God's creation. We talk a lot about the eagle. It's my favorite of all God's creation. One of the animals that he created is an eagle. Sure, I like the lion that's up there. But there's another one. And you're going to laugh at me for saying it. I love the goose. And God says we got to have the sense of a goose. How many's ever heard that saying before? You ain't got the sense of a goose. Well, let me tell you something. Geese are pretty smart. You ever notice them? They got their act together, man. I need seven people up here real quick. We don't have time to go over this story. Seven people real quick, 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 quick. Come out, come out, come out. Why are you waiting on? Seven people. Right here. Right here. Right here. Right here behind her. Same angle. Same angle. Same angle. Boy, your chest. Now, if you look in the sky, you see this beautiful creation called the goose flying south for warmer weather. The very formation that they fly in is in a V. You know what V stands for? We got to get our sense together like the goose. And we got to fly harder now than we've ever flown before. We're all flying the same direction. Guess what? We're all going the same direction. We're all in harmony. We're going the same direction. How many's going to heaven? That means you're going the same place I'm going. Somebody just need to raise your hand. Okay. There's going to be an altar ministry here just in a minute. We're all going to heaven, or we should be, or we should long to be. We're all headed in the right direction. They do something. They fly so close in formation together. Get over that way, Sister Camilla. Just like in diagonal, just like that. You're pointing toward him. You're pointing toward him. You're pointing toward him. Oh, gotcha. Okay, you're in a V formation. You're in a V. I'm sorry, I'm trying to finish this and I'm biting time. I know what time it is, okay? I haven't been here. But listen, there is more efficiency when they fly at this close proximity. Thank you. See it right there on the screen? There's more efficiency in their airflow, their current, their dynamics. They can get greater speed, 71% more, by flying in this formation. Listen, and sometimes the one flying lead here gets tired. He changes out. He don't care that he's going to the back. Got somebody stepping up. Listen. Listen. You're hearing a word from the Lord. Some of us just want to fly in this position. That's why it's harder to get somewhere. We can't just fly in here. Pastor's got to have some people helping heal. Do you get that? Do you get it? I'm serious. Do you get it? So, when this one gets, anyone in the formation gets hurt, come here. Sit down here, sister, please.
I'll fly.
Let me tell you, this is a truth. Two more will leave the formation and they'll stay with the one that's hurt until that one gets back up on its feet and flies again. Listen, if God put that in creation, if God put that in a goose, how much more are we? Do you have the sense of a goose? Sometimes. We can all say that. Sometimes I've wondered about myself. Amen. I love it. Let me tell you. In flying, you'll notice something if you were close enough in proximity to the formation flying. And Kathy and I have observed this. Our kids have observed this for years over there at the lake. And I'm sure Kevin, you know, seeing these beautiful creations. Listen, you don't want to corner one around the nest. I'm going to tell you that much right now. You're going to have Mrs. R. They'll fight for their eggs. They'll fight for their young. How many in here today will fight for your young? Fight for your eggs. Fight for your young. Fight for your eggs. This was an attack. This was an attack. Outside these walls will attack. Are we going to stand up and flap our wings and say, listen, I'm going to fight. Or I'm just going to waller over. That's right. And constantly in this V formation, going south, constantly, you hear this continual sound, honk, honk. They call it honking, H-O-N-K. I don't know what you call it, but it's called honking. Honking, what did I say? If I said something else, I didn't mean to. Everybody's got a honk in them here, right? Let me tell you what a honk is. Let me tell you what a honk is. It's an encouragement. Come on, keep on flying, Kevin. Keep on flying. Yeah.
Honk, honk, honk.
Keep on flying. Keep on flying, Wayne. Keep on flying. You get tired sometimes, Steve, but keep on flying. You know what? You expect me to do all the honking. You know what'd be awesome? If I hear some honking from some of you all. Amen. Why do you think I'm flying at your doorstep? All hours of the night. Knock on your door. Honk, honk, honk. Why do you think I pick my phone up and aggravate you to no end? Texting you saying, how are you doing? Are you okay? Well, Pastor, or I just missed 3 or 4 services. I'm all right. I'm nothing wrong. Well, you just not been here in 3 months, so I'm just checking on you. Make sure you're okay. Listen, be blessed because of that. Get blessed because of that. Don't take that as an insult. All I'm doing is honk, honk, honk. We need to encourage each other. Encourage each other. Come on, I'm ready to close right here. Encourage each other. These guys did an awesome job, didn't they? Give them a big hand. Thank you all. We've got to be in harmony. Everybody say harmony. I'm ready. I'm ready to close. Okay, just in a little bit, Melissa, okay? And the reason why I asked this group to get up here, what powerful praise and worship came forth earlier is just God had us in another realm. And Kevin, I want you and Abby to get ready to come up here just in a few minutes. And I want you to close us out in this powerful song. Our kids have been awesome out there. I can't hear very good, but I don't know if they've been loud out there or not. But whoever's out there, man, they're doing an awesome job with these kids. I mean, we got to do what we got to do, and we'll make do with what we got to do. But God will get us there. We're all heading in the right direction. That's why the enemy's attacking us, because we're all heading in the right direction. And so are a lot of other ministries, because we're all part of one body. one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Herein are we all baptized into one body. That's the body of Jesus Christ. We're not against each other. That's what ministries have got to get together in this country on. We're not against each other. We may have different styles, but we're together. Amen. We're together. We may have different styles. We may reach different places, but we're all working together. Everybody shout together. So imagine how it was beautiful just a minute ago. But now I don't want you to sing anything in harmony. Whoa. Different song, different notes. And then I want you to tell me what you think about it. I want you to be real. And don't look at me and say, oh, I just love them. I ain't going to say anything mean. Come on. Come on. Sing whatever. I don't care. And sing it all different. Sing it all different chords. I don't care. You're creative. Do it. It's you. Now,
I did not think this team could ever sound bad, but you did a good job just then.
That was not what. Listen carefully. That is not what Gerald heard last Sunday. And there was just a cappella praise out here. But it was one voice. And all of this is designed to play in harmony and key. In the same chord, the same key. They all have different parts to play. Because some sing alto and some sing, you know, tenor. I don't know. I don't think we have any bass, but they're singing together, and all you hear is the harmony of their voices together. And it's a sweet smelling savor to the nostrils of God. It lifts up and exalts Jesus. But it doesn't matter, really. I've seen people who maybe didn't have all the musical abilities, didn't have all the talents, didn't have all the maybe the voice, the pitches and ranges, but I've heard them sing and it brought the crowd to tears and to their, because the greatest harmony that the master looks for is the harmony of your heart. Do you see what I'm talking about? Our lives have got to be in harmony. We've got to be in unity with the Spirit. We've got to be in unity with Christ. We've got to be in unity together. And therefore, we create powerful function, which creates dysfunction to the devil's scheme and plan. So, let's take it to the devil. How many's ready to get up on your feet right now and take it to the devil? If you're here today and there's disunity in your life, there's disharmony in your life, there is dysfunction in your life, something is out of harmony, something is out of tune in your own life, I know the master tuner. I've never seen him pick up an instrument that he's never put in tune. If he can take an old hippie, an old Jesus freak hippie from Big Stone Gap, a coal miner, and if he can put his heart in tune, he can put anybody's heart in tune. Amen? Jesus, you got to give him that chance. You got to bring your life to him and say, God, I need harmony in my life. I need harmony in my family because the devil's trying to take me down. He's trying to destroy my family. He's trying to destroy my life. He's trying to create dysfunction and disunity in my family, in my own life. And there's chaos. And if that's you today, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to come to Christ. This is just going to take a moment right now. If you're here today and there's disunity in your life, there's not a harmony in your life. Something's out of sync. Something's out of key. Something's out of harmony in your life. Jesus says, I can fix it. Bring it to me. If that's you, come on right now. And let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you this. This is getting deeper, all right? Okay? Be honest. That's the way. You know, we walk out of this room like we got our life all together, you know, and we're sitting there saying, God knows my life's not together. I mean, that he knows it's not in tune. Boy, I played that chord, man. Woo, boy, that was a bad sound. Something's wrong in my life. Be honest, be real with it. Let me tell you something else. If there's somebody in this room that you've not been functioning with, let me tell you something. Then this is your opportunity to go to that person and say, you know what? I've been out key. I'm sorry. And you may have not even done anything, but you think they have done something to you. You think they may have something against you. I don't know. I don't know who that is, but God's speaking to somebody. Thank you. Wow, man. Thank you. Thank you. Come on. Well, don't patty cake. Come on. Give God some praise. If there's somebody in here that even think that somebody might have an offense against you, God says you better go make that right right now. Right now. Right now, go to somebody, put your arms around them and say, listen, you know, we messed up. We all mess up. Sometimes people can hurt each other's feelings. Sometimes they can say things, do things that's out of character, wrong, and not even mean to. We just do it all the time because we're people. We're people. We mess up. Anybody in here ever mess up besides me? Boy, I wish there's some real people. Anybody in this room ever mess up besides your crazy pastor? Then right now, if somebody you think that may have something or dysfunction in some way, go to that person. Even just go to them and tell them you love them right now. Go to them right now. God says go right now. Go to them and tell them you love them. Go to them right now. Tell them you love them. Go to them right now. Tell them you love them. I don't care if they have done something or not done something. Go to them right now. Go to them right now. God says, you make it right, I'll make it right. God says, if you make it right, I'll make it right. But sometimes action needs reaction. So right now, go to that person. Go to that person. Go to that person. Go to them. Turn around to somebody next to you. Just give them a Jesus hug and say, I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Come on. Come on. Some of you gotta get humble to do that. You gotta get humble to do that. Somebody gotta get humble to do that. Jackie, Sister Jackie, come up here. Listen, and I know our kids are being dismissed right now, and if you got to go, you got to go. But Sister Jackie, the enemy has tried his best for a long time to keep Sister Jackie in a place of dysfunction. But she made every effort to be here this morning. You know what the enemy did? He tripped her up, and she fell real bad. She fell getting ready for church this morning. How many knows the enemy doesn't want you to be about what God's about? Amen. So I want some sisters right now.